Needless to say, we had a wild time at VBS. We did. We really did. I'm not over the congregation's response, though, for one of those. I'm trying to process that. They seem to have some joy in one of those clips that they saw just there. We're going to get to that in a minute. I'm just a little troubled by that. No, we had a wonderful, wonderful time at VBS, and I want to thank all of our volunteers, all of our teachers, just everyone, all of the cooks that prepared meals. Thank all of you for making this one of the greatest VBS experiences that we've had in the life of our church family. We saw lives come to know Christ. Did y'all hear me? We did. And God has done just an amazing, amazing thing throughout this week. And our theme for VBS was in the wild. In the wild. And just for the brief time we have remaining, I want to challenge us from the Word of God on how we are to live in the wild. Now, I do hope you understand what I mean when I say live in the wild. Have you checked the news out lately? I heard one young person say, yeah. It might be a little suspect. No, really. Do people still read the newspaper? If you still read the newspaper, let me see your hands. I just got a few of you all that still read. Okay, all right. But Al said, I'll read it from cover to cover. Still read the newspaper. It's interesting that there is nothing, rarely is there anything good reported in the news. You notice that? And yet, many of us won't even go to bed before we watch it. I'm just saying that you might want to change that. But it always reminds us that we are living in the wild. When I say the wild, the unpredictability of the times we're in, the ugliness of society, the treachery that we see among humanity, we're living in some crazy times. I know you love your neighborhood, but you know where you live is kind of wild. Where you work is definitely, yeah. Don't look at your coworkers right now. It's okay. And in this wilderness of life, there are some people who never experience peace. Can I talk to you for a moment? Because all of us were caught up at one time or another in the wildness of living. You're looking at me like that, but I know some of you, I read your story. You got a t-shirt. You were enjoying the ride. You know what I mean when I say that it's wild out there. I know you're in church now. But God rescued us, Kevin, from the wildness of the world. But get this, not to extract us from it, but to change us, that while we engage others in the wild, they might come to know the difference that Christ makes through us. I hope you catch this. Because the believer's life, our life, believers in Christ, we're called by God to carry the message of Christ, get this, everywhere, every day to everyone. That as believers, our lives have been changed by God for the purpose that others might come to know God through knowing us. And on this whole series of Hoosier One, I want to challenge us to not just see this as a series as we wrap this series up, but I want you to challenge you to take it on as a lifestyle. That as you engage the wildness of life, as you engage the wildness of humanity, as you enter into the wild, into your mission field, that you will always enter with this thought in mind, not just who's my one, but who's my next one. That our lives be lived continually on mission to help rescue others who are trapped in the wilderness of life. You know the wilderness, that unpredictable nature of life where there's more fear than there's faith. People need to know that there's another way to live. People need to know the joy that's in knowing Jesus. People need to know that there's still hope in Christ, and the way they know it is through your lives. In fact, let me help you practice for a moment. Smile. Thank you. People need to see the smiles on your face and know that there is still hope in the world. And Jesus Christ is our hope. He's our hope. He's the reason why we sing, why we can rejoice. And God is calling us because we must live out our belief that Christ lives everywhere we go. Listen, brothers and sisters, I hope you get this. Because our call is that as we connect with others, they're able to know Christ because we know Christ. Let me say it this way. That those who know you might know the God that you know because they had an opportunity to know you. That's really what this call is all about. As we go out, that God didn't take us from the world. I mean, if he didn't have an assignment for our lives, as soon as he saved us, he would have taken us to be with him. But yet he kept you here. He kept you with your crazy. No, I can't say that like that. He kept you in your family. He kept you in your community. He kept you in your neighborhood. He kept you by that cranky coworker that is one cubicle over from you. He kept you there for a reason. Why did he keep you there? Because there's a message that he has put in you that he wants to get out to them. But unless you go, they won't know. And unless you share, they'll never know. I was reading Helen Keller's memoir. If you know anything about Helen Keller, she was born blind, and in her memoir, she wrote this. She said, I've always knew that God existed. I just didn't know his name until someone came and shared his name. I had an amazing experience at VBS, you all. I do. I mean, it was a transformational experience for me. You don't really understand this. I want you to see the moment of my transformation. I do. I know some of you may have got a glimpse of it, but I really want you to see it. Listen, God ministered to me in the way of slime. I think we have a picture of that, right, Ricky? Yeah. My transformational moment. Just terrible. And they look like they were enjoying it. Like you remember it, don't you? You remember it. I was slime, but get this. I really want to let this sink into your memory. I want you to know how to pray for me. After being slimed, my protective gear didn't protect me. I had a plan. I thought it would work, Anthony. I did. I said, okay, I can do this. I can make this happen. But the slime went places that I didn't plan for it to go. And one of our VBS attenders, they began to minister to me. And they may not know this, but I stepped backstage. And when I stepped backstage with all this slimy apparel, they saw it, but they didn't know what it was. They saw the transformation, but they didn't know exactly what it was. And then one of the little guys said, but what is it? I said, it's applesauce. He said, that's not applesauce. So, yeah, it's applesauce. And then he took his finger. And he wanted to, you know, taste and see. Took his finger and he wiped his finger and he tasted it. And he said, "That is applesauce." And all the other kids said, and in that moment, they don't know it, but they ministered to me. Because so oftentimes people see our lives. They look at us and they see us and they see the joy. They see the liberation. They see the forgiveness and the burden-free life that we are to live as believers. But they don't really know what it is. And they won't know what it is unless we tell them who it is that transformed our lives. So as you enter the wild, because you're about to go and enter the wild, I just want to give you some helpful hints when you go out in the wilderness, when you go out from this point, as you go out and engage society and engage others with the gospel message, because they need to know the good news. They need to know that God loves them. People need to know that. You need to know that God loves you and God has never given up on you and God won't give up on you because he gave his all for you. You need to know that, and others need to know that as well. So as you get ready to go out, Austin, the first thing I have to tell you, when you are going in the wilderness, and when you get home, you can tell your wife, I said, even your house can be the wilderness. When you go in the wilderness, he tell you to watch out. Yeah, this practical tips here. Yeah. No, really, I'm telling you to watch out. Not watch out for what may happen to you. No. Watch out to see where God is working. And you can join him on what he is doing. Can I talk some practical tips here? That we be intentional to seek, because every place you go, God has assigned you to be there. And God is always working. He's working with that crazy cousin. He's working with that coworker that gets on your last Christian nerve. Yeah, he's working with them, and he wants to use you to deposit truth in their lives. But you have to watch to see where he's working. Not only do I want you to watch out, I want to encourage you to also look out. Look out, because there's somebody God is assigning to you. There's someone else. There's another person. There's another neighbor. Sometimes God will call you to change your normalcy to connect with someone that he wants you to reach for him. I want you to look out, but as I hurry on here, I also want to challenge you to work out. Now we need to physically work out, Anthony. I mean, we do. We need to physically work out. I was looking in the mirror, you know. I had a T-shirt on. I want to make sure it looked right. We need to work out. But I'm not talking about just physical working out. We need to work out talking about Christ. We need to prepare our testimony. We need to get in the habit of telling people what Christ has done in our lives. We ought not get tired of telling people about Jesus Christ. We ought to work out, be prepared, practice it, witness to others, witness to yourself. Because sometimes, can I be honest with you all for a moment? I got the mic, and we're almost out of time, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Sometimes I got to minister to myself. No, you're not with me just yet here. Because sometimes there are things that come in life, and I got to inform, sometimes I got to inform my feelings with my faith until my feelings began to back up what I know to have faith in. I got to talk to myself. You got to witness to yourself, get into practice so you can witness to others. And then you got to live it out, y'all. You have to live it out. You have to be a disciple-making disciple. So when people see your life, and they see how God transformed you from sliminess, and they began to ask, what is that that's on your life? You could tell them it's because of the change that Christ has made in my heart. We got a brother in the text, John chapter 1, particularly right around verse 22 and 23, you have this guy called John the Baptist. Now, he's not really a Baptist, But we like to say he's a Baptist, you know. I'm just saying, like because he's a baptizer. But he was a follower of God, a follower of Christ, John the Baptist. In John chapter 1, and there's a commissioning that came about where people were trying to figure something out about him. The same thing people try to figure out about us. When they see us and engage us, when we introduce ourselves, they came with that pivotal question, who are you? That's what they asked him. They said, who are you? Are you Elijah? He says, no. Are you the Messiah? He says, no, I'm not the Christ. They said, well, then tell us, who are you? Well, I wish you had your Bibles open right now. John says, I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Come here, brothers and sisters. Just like John had that same testimony, that's our testimony. As God sent us out into the wilderness, that we ought to be a voice. A voice that's not silent, a voice that's not quiet, a voice that is crying out. You know why? Because we have something that needs to be heard. And we're crying because what needs to be heard is urgent. As people are dying in the world, dying in their hopes, dying in their dreams, they need to know that there is a way, there is a truth, there is a life, and that's Christ Jesus. And when you give your life to him, he'll turn your whole world around. They need to know that. And you're the voice that God wants to use to get it to them. So that's your challenge. Because God wants to use us so that others may know him. So I want to ask you this week, for the rest of your life, make every connection count. Every conversation, every person that God brings your way, make sure it counts. And tell them. Because there's some uneven places out there in the world. There are some distractions that are always around us that block us from hearing and knowing what God would have for us. And God wants to use you. Just like he used someone else in your life to teach you the good news of Christ, God wants to use you in the life of someone. Can God use you? No, it's not a rhetorical question. Can God use you? Because God wants to use you. But first, you have to be willing to say yes to him. See, you can't bring someone where you've never been. And some of us right now, maybe you're at that place where you're ready. Because you've been caught up in the wilderness of life. And now you're at that place where you are ready to say yes to Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.